The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the Department of Communication Studies, it's Professor Joe Abbasid.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going good.
You said that it wasn't a good haircut. I think it's a fine haircut.
I think it's a pretty bad haircut. I think he took too much off.
And, okay.
Fortunately, my hair grows pretty quick, so okay. I'm not too worried. It should be fine by Monday.
It's a haircut made for radio.
It is.
Yes, it is.
It is.
The best haircut that radio can buy.
Isn't that called a cowlick?
No, cowlick.
It's back there? Oh, it's that one.
No, I think a cowlick can be anywhere. It's just a part where your hair, like, designs itself. Like, it decides where it's going to go.
That his hair did.
Yeah, my brother has cowlick.
It doesn't lay flat, like, parts where there wouldn't normally be a part.
Exactly.
Yeah, so is mine.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm going to proactively ask all panelists
radio,
to avoid comments on my hair.
Those are the dulcet tones of Professor Kendra Evans from Chemistry and Biochemistry. And, we will find a different segue. Oh, look, you and Joe both have blue water bottles. Oh, okay. Well, that's a place to start. How's that?
Yeah, great. Good work on that.
So you have a sick daughter right now. That's unfortunate.
I did, but she's getting better.
Okay.
She's definitely getting better, like a week later.
Yeah, she was down for the count.
She was.
It's the 1920s out there again with the flu this year. That's all I got to say.
It's
people are dying
nasty,
left and right.
Yeah, I know.
It's not good.
We
not
shouldn't
good.
Go to Google during times like this.
Mm-hmm.
It will not give good news.
No,
it does not. Professor Jim Tubbs is here from Religious Studies.
Hello.
Hello. Yes. It was very warm yesterday.
Yes, it was.
So we could have had
it was nice.
Enjoy the
car
weather.
Thermometer actually showed 50.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's our Monday and our Tuesday next week too. So that should be nice. Aside from people with flooding basements, it should be all right.
Well, yeah.
Who's got
the
that?
Piles of snow that are that are melting quickly now.
What about the pile of snow melting from the top of Chemistry 114?
You mean the icicles?
No, I mean like the waterfall coming into the light fixture in 114.
Inside? Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yes, inside. Not good.
Poor facilities.
Yes.
Lots of work to do.
Lots of work to do.
I'm waiting for somebody to get impaled by one of the falling icicles.
Oh, my gosh. That's
it's never happened.
This is why my kids often refer to icicles as
death-sickle.
Because they're always afraid they're going to be impaled.
I like breaking them off and bringing them in and stirring a cool drink with them.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
He threw a shovel at one on the side of our house, and then it, like, fell. But then it fell, but then it immediately froze to the ground on the sidewalk.
Like,
so it, like, stayed up.
It was really?
Awesome.
Really quite odd.
Wow.
It was a physics experiment is what it was, let me tell you. Continuing around the table, checking Google for who knows what. It's Professor Dan Maggio.
Hi.
How are you doing, Dan?
Good.
A man pretty much in his glory with near nonstop professional curling for the next
year. Oh, yes.
Wait, is it considered professional if it's the Olympics?
Well,
or is it
amateur? But he watches professionally.
As close as you can get, I think, to professional level.
Right.
They're pretty good.
Cool.
He watches religiously.
I saw the women lose once, win once, and I saw the men win once.
Okay. I watch mixed doubles.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah,
I like the mixed doubles.
Oh. Yeah, Wisconsin, sure.
Which is nice. There's only two people in that team, in a mixed doubles team.
Yeah.
It's actually a little
goes
bit better.
Goes a little faster.
The Americans are not doing that great.
Oh.
Yeah.
Middle
Canada
of the pack
is doing great.
Canada's
I mean, we're really not known for curling.
Yeah.
Being next to Canada and all.
Except when we get haircuts.
Yes.
Oh, cleverly.
You're going to make it film.
There was an article in today's paper, though, about how curling is providing so much amusement for watchers because everybody's mic'd.
That's right.
All of the participants are mic'd, so you can hear all of their grunts and groans and comments to one another
all the way through.
Now,
sorry, I kept hearing the Chinese contestants say, sorry.
And if you watch CBC, it's probably true for any CBC sport, but curling, then they're mic'd. And they don't really filter as much as we do here.
Right.
So you'll hear all kinds
yes.
of stuff coming out of the mouth.
Remember, you're on international TV for the Olympics.
CBC is in many ways an unfiltered way to watch the Olympics. Pleasantly so.
Is it better, though? I'm glad we're able to watch the Olympics on CBC.
Professor Prasad Venugopal is here from physics. I heard curl and I heard hair, and I don't see why that wouldn't apply to you either.
It actually totally applies to me, and I have been in the same position. Many a time in the past, my hair is also naturally wavy and curly. And when I was growing up, my hair would look more like my son's, except that when I was a kid, they forced you to part it and then brush it till it was straight. Yeah. So
You can train it if you really got
some. Anyway, happy to be in Tropical Briggs.
Well, it's pretty tropical in here today.
Yes, it is.
It's a little warm.
I'm wondering just how the Lodge is doing right now. We can talk to Professor Dave Chow from the College for Creative Studies.
The Lodge is fine. I-94,
not so
mild
much.
Disaster. So anyway.
What's going on down there?
Just rush hour.
Oh, okay.
See, if I leave at like 3 to 3:15, I'm golden. I can get here in 5 minutes.
15-minute window?
Yeah.
After that, toast.
Everybody's leaving work early downtown. Yeah.
So, you know, needless to say, I caught that little search of 94 before I could hook up into the Lodge. So,
okay.
I'll stop, but I'm here. So.
Good. We're glad to have you. I heard something about the mic'd up Chinese curlers, and then you were making all sorts of hand motions, and then there was
and then
talk
Dan
about Canada.
Talking about the Canadians. Yep. And, you know.
So, anyway.
So, I am following curling. So
excellent.
And I was also following biathlon. What else have I been following? But I will not follow the ice dancing per your instructions.
Okay.
Oh,
well, no, that's not because of me. That's not because of me. That's not because of me.
See, I like the sports where, you know, where it's clear cut.
The men's figure skating last night was wonderful.
Okay.
That's what
I heard.
Great performance.
I was watching
the young Russian guy. I really liked, and well, Chen did not do well for the U.S.
That's true.
But the other two. U.S. guys did pretty well. But the Japanese guy, I mean, it was not, stylistically, I don't think it was the top, but technically, it was an amazing performance he put. And got the second highest score ever given in that competition.
Oh, my gosh.
111 point something points.
Wow.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Watching biathlon just essentially randomly, whatever was on last weekend with my 5-year-old, and we turned the TV on, and you get the commentators, and the people are really going at it, and Emmett's like, oh, okay, you know, skiing or whatever, and then they pull out the gun, he's like, whoa, like, what sport is this? This is great.
We were just talking about that yesterday. Now, what is the etiology of that as a sport? Because the only thing I can think of
is...
Well, the Norse snipers, you know, in the Second World War would ski all through the mountains and shoot at the Germans. But I can't think of what else it would be useful for and why it would become
a couple of James Bond movies.
Yes, that's true. And, of course, one of them ended up in a snowblower.
That's right. Well, I haven't finished all the introductions. We have a special guest panelist here today, my son Lorenzo, who is just about to turn 10.
What?
Just about to turn 10.
You're going double digits?
He can never go back to single digits. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah.
Just about 4 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we are going to continue with our show now and say this is a program. You can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you can win a prize like an autographed photograph. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win a prize like an ATP mug. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP or find us on Facebook. Dear professors, I don't recall which episode of ATP it was, but the topic was nicknames, and since then, I've been fascinated by them. Thought it was a great topic for the profs to tackle, as it made of interesting comments and debate. Below are 20 nicknames. I'll provide the topic and the nickname, and it'll be up to the profs to figure out who or what we're referring to. Please enjoy, Beverly Hollis.
Oh,
so she sent us questions many, many times. Let's see where this goes. It starts pretty rough, so we'll see how deep we can go here. A playing card whose nickname is the Curse of Mexico. Wish I knew the story, too.
The Curse of Mexico?
You got a 1 in 52 shot of hitting the playing card, known as the Curse of Mexico. There's obviously some historical reference here.
5 of Diamonds.
It's not the 5 of Diamonds. However, I was expecting you to wait until everybody else chimed in. I was too anxious to go with my random guess. Just pick one, Enzo.
Choose a card, any card.
Jack?
Oh. It's not a jack.
Oh, okay.
The two of clubs.
You know, it's the two of spades is the Curse of Mexico.
Wait, but what's the rationale?
I don't know.
Should provide it?
It's got to be some historical.
Some historic sort of thing, yeah.
Like Montezuma pulled the card from, you know, who knows.
The Curse of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was a royal flag.
Or some Spaniard.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Right. The Curse of Mexico.
There you go.
Cortez during his euchre days.
Or somebody tossed the two of spades in the air and it flew through like a frisbee, momentarily distracting someone else in time for this person to get their gun out and shoot them.
Please.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Okay, how about this? What U.S. state's inhabitants are known as nutmeggers?
Mississippi?
No.
Nutmeg.
Vermont.
No, but you're in the right corner of the country. Nope.
New York.
Maine, nope. Rhode Island, Massachusetts.
Maine, New York.
It's Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
Connecticut.
It was one of the New England states.
Connecticuters are called nutmeggers, yes.
Well, anybody know why?
Connecticuters? Why are they called Connecticuters?
Connecticuters is too many letters. Yeah, nutmeggers is at least one less.
Nobody wants to call them Connecticuters. Connecticuters.
Easy for you to say.
I can say Connecticuters without...
Connecticuters.
Something about, I mean, I don't know, was it like a nutmeg importing
center? Yeah. They probably did a lot of importing up there around Lyme and New Haven. Probably imported a lot from the islands.
The islands. What musical band's groupies are called the Blue Army?
Blue Man Group?
No, musical band.
Band.
Oh, Blue Army.
Blue.
The Blue Army. They have been around for a long time without... Bringing up the Rolling Stones, because it's not the Stones.
You too? Blue Oyster Cult?
Nope. They are known for being sort of getting close to elderly, but they continue to perform. Hard rockers.
Kiss.
Kiss is a good guess, but it's not.
Like Black Sabbath?
Grateful Dead?
Judas Priest?
Nope.
Who else is...
Aerosmith.
Aerosmith. Oh. Blue Army is
the only one left. Yes.
Yeah, the only one still alive.
Yeah. Aerosmith, that's right. How about what U.S. city's inhabitants are known as the Yats?
Spell it, please.
Y-A-T-S. They're called Yats.
Use it in a sentence, please.
Actually, I can use
What's
it
What's the
in
origin
a
of the word? That's what we want to know.
The origin is, it is a very common greeting in this city that literally just in the last 48 hours celebrated its 300th anniversary, that you greet somebody with, where you at?
Nolens?
Where are you? It's Nolens. Oh, wow. Nolens, okay. Louisiana.
Where are you?
I was going to guess New York.
It does sound like a New York accent, yeah. But...
like
this
Brooklynese
is
or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe they say different in New Orleans.
They definitely do.
Yeah.
Cy Hendry says it pretty good, actually.
Where ya?
What Canadian city?
Uh-oh.
Is called Hollywood God. North.
Vancouver, Toronto.
Vancouver is
one
it
of
says
the two.
Here. Yeah, lots of movies started with the X-Files, right?
Yep. Vancouver, among other things,
among many other things.
Has anybody here been watching any of the new Star Trek stuff?
I will at some point.
I watched the first one; it was terrible.
I know you watched the first one; you didn't like it.
No,
we'll have to lament over it while we take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback. 1995.
From the Department of Theater and Performing Arts, Professor Arthur Beer.
Yeah, hi, Edwin.
You better adjust the dose there.
My God. Jeez. Right. And on Arthur's right, my left, from the Department of English, Professor Hugh Kulin.
Happy to be here.
Happy to have you here. How did the hunting go?
I was with Greg. It's the first time he's tried it out.
That's right. And I got two, he got zero.
That was, but aside from other people we were hunting with, how'd we do on the deer?
Oh. We hit a couple coming.
On the way back. On the way back. Yep. Right. Run, Bambi, run.
Kaboom.
Yeah.
Mother.
Your mother's not coming back anymore, Bambi.
She's in huge refrigerator.
And we are back. With some great questions from Beverly Hollis and a conversation about the new Star Trek series on the CBS mobile streaming
CBS
device.
Yes,
there we go. All right, another Canadian question.
Oh, no.
What Canadian city is the Slurpee capital of the world?
Ottawa.
It's not Ottawa.
Windsor.
Montreal.
Ontario?
Calgary.
Is it in Ontario?
Oh.
Slurpee capital.
So it's like a Saskatoon.
It's in Manitoba.
Regina?
Winnipeg.
Oh, Winnipeg.
Winnipeg is the Slurpee capital.
Winnipeg is the Slurpee capital.
It's got to be the capital of something.
That's because it's also in the streets, too.
7-Eleven?
7-Eleven Slurpee capital. Yep. Okay, what U.S. city in the South is called the Firefly capital of the world?
Oh.
Some of your old stomping grounds, Jim.
The Firefly capital of the world?
Raleigh?
Columbia, South Carolina.
No, it's actually in North Carolina, if that narrows it down.
Firefly capital?
Yeah.
Raleigh?
Nope. It starts with the letter B. guessing Boone? Named after a famous. It is Boone. It's Boone, North Carolina.
Daniel Boone.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Never heard of.
Never heard Daniel Boone.
You don't know what a firefly is? Daniel
Boone. Didn't realize a city was named Boone, North Carolina.
Appalachian State is there.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I don't know. Appalachian State. I know that they scored 42.
That's right.
Well, that was a couple years ago, wasn't it?
It was quite a few years ago.
Yeah.
Don't ask me why that score is stuck in my head. It's a piece of useless information.
I laughed and laughed and laughed at that game.
How about a military commander whose nickname was Dugout Doug?
Douglas MacArthur.
It was MacArthur for living in the tunnels during the Japanese invasion of the Philippines.
Cute. It's like a mole rat.
Yeah, sort of like that, but not a naked one.
Ew.
NFL football team. I will take the year and the team. They were called the Cardiac Kids with a K.
Oh, Brian Sipe, Cleveland Browns, 1978?
It says 80, the 1980 Browns. Oh, I cannot believe you got that. That's awesome.
Oh, my God.
If I remember correctly.
You watch a lot of football?
Yes.
I watched
the Cardiac Kids would have been, they always looked like they were going to lose, but then they won. So they gave you a heart attack. Yeah.
And Brian Sipe was the quarterback, and that's about all that I can remember.
We're impressed that a part of your brain has been dedicated to remembering stuff like that.
I know.
Wow.
It's rotating RAM is what it is. It's rotating.
How about a U.S. city that nicknamed itself the Town Too Tough to Die?
Sounds like Detroit.
Yeah.
I was going to try to stop you before you said it. It's not Detroit.
Cleveland.
It's a little bit closer to Diane Manica than we are Phoenix? To the city right now. Not
Tempe.
Phoenix. No.
Santa Fe.
Just be really literal with that nickname and you're good to go.
It's going
to
die?
Death Valley?
Getting closer.
Tufton?
Tufton.
Okay, don't be that literal. Okay. it says here that it's Tombstone. Tombstone. The Town Too Tough to Die. What NHL hockey player? It's Dave's day.
Oh, criminy.
Was called the Little Beaver.
Ooh.
Initials MD.
Marcel Dion.
Marcel Dion.
Whoa.
Is what it
ridiculous.
Says here.
The little fella.
Another little part of his brain hard drive. heard from.
Unbelievable.
He does
huh?
well with baseball, too.
Yeah.
I'm a sports geek.
And he likes television shows. And
it was my babysitter, remember? My parents.
Every television show and every character and their siblings in real life and on the show.
With the year.
With the year.
No years. I don't do numbers.
Let's go history. What U.S. president was called the Napoleon of the Stump?
Oh, McKinley?
That's not what it says.
Napoleon of the Stump.
Franklin Pierce?
Your size?
Franklin Pierce. Good guess. Incorrect.
Oh.
He was a short guy.
The cannon?
Mm-mm.
Polk?
It was Polk, is what it says here. It was James
Polk.
K. Polk. Yes.
But what was the stump thing, I wonder?
Just like a short guy giving speeches.
When they would go out and give a speech, sometimes they'd stand on a stump to be heard.
I was thinking of a wooden leg.
Yeah.
Hence the expression stump speech.
When you guys say that Polk, are you saying the L? Like
Polk.
Polk.
You don't say like poke?
Poke.
Polk.
You say poke, like poke a hole.
Polk.
But they're saying Polk. Like
Polk.
There's an L.
Polk.
There's an L.
Yeah, there's got a slight. You got a slight.
Things are about
L-A.
To get real ugly.
Poke. Poke.
Kendra's like, what's with that L?
It's B-O-L-K. Polk.
We take out L's in the South. You got a hoat of me? I cannot get a hoat of you. Take out your voters, class.
Now, is this also true with Michiganders? We add S's to every company?
That's true of a lot of places.
Ford's. Very good.
Kroger's.
I don't see a lot of that Southern accent coming out, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, Target. Mm-hmm. That's not really.
How about an American politician whose nickname was The Body?
Oh, the Minnesota governor.
Oh, Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, Jesse Ventura. Yeah. I edited that one. It said wrestler and politician, but I figured there was enough information.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jesse the Body Ventura.
What U.S. newspaper is sometimes referred to, even in the modern time, as the Gray Lady?
The New York Times.
The New York Times. The editor of which was just quoted today in the media saying that he thinks print journalism has less than 8 years.
Oh, no.
Less than how long?
Eight?
Less than 8 years.
Oh,
so
no.
I'll look to Joe for a commentary there. But if the editor of the New York Times is saying
that is
it's like
sad.
Time to...
Because the Gray Lady is the newspaper of record.
Yeah, that is exactly true. How about a U.S. comedian who used to be nicknamed Mr. Warmth?
Rodney Dangerfield?
No, but that's a great guess.
Don Rickles.
Don Rickles.
I can see the bald.
I love Rodney Dangerfield's tombstone in Westwood Memorial Park in L.A. says, "There goes the neighborhood."
Oh, my gosh. Mr. Warmth is good enough for me, you know, thinking of how prickly Don Rickles was. Yeah. What U.S. state is nicknamed Variety Vacation Land?
North Carolina.
Yeah, it's North Carolina. I was
Variety?
Woods again.
Why?
Yeah.
Variety
Vacation Land.
Oh, because you get so much.
You
got mountains, you got beaches, you've got all kinds of river activities.
So far, you've described California.
Or Michigan.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, North Carolina's been around longer.
Yeah. Well, Michigan doesn't really have mountains.
We don't have mountains here.
I mean, when I first came, I went to Utah. Compared to that, not much mountains going on.
Yeah, a 30-foot hill doesn't really count.
Hey, that escarpment off of Mount Clemens is pretty deadly. You know? I mean,
escarpment.
We have a number of ski mountains that are actually garbage heaps that they put snow on.
That's true.
That's efficient.
Yes, it works.
What non-U.S. city has been nicknamed Little Paris?
Tokyo?
Buenos Aires?
It's not Buenos Aires. I will Little help Paris? You out by saying it is in Europe.
Milan? Ooh. Is it known for Little Paris because of fashion?
Enzo's jumping on top of this because he was in the GOB a few weeks ago, so you gotta get working on this. But no, it doesn't have a description, I'm afraid, and I know what country it's in. I never would have guessed that this is known as Little Paris. A city, a very famous city that starts with the letter B.
Budapest.
Not Budapest, but
Bucharest
is what it says.
Romania. I have heard that expression before.
Okay. Yeah. Not, of course, the Paris of the Midwest, which, of course, is the fair city of Detroit.
Actually, I would have said Budapest. Budapest has been used as, the guide there said, it's been used as a movie set for Paris, Buenos Aires, Rome, Berlin.
Huh.
I forget, a whole bunch of different, because there's so much different architecture.
That makes sense.
In Budapest. And you can still see buildings that are pocked with bullet holes from the Second World War.
Unbelievable.
It's a fascinating city.
Unbelievable. How about, just a couple more to go here, a U.S. musician whose nickname is the Godfather of Grunge. Of course, this is total...
Cobain?
Not Cobain, because it's very sort of like backwards looking. Before Cobain, there was, you know...
Neil Young?
Neil Young is what it says.
Oh, yeah, he is kind of grungy.
Yeah. But I don't think it was grunge when he was doing it. After Cobain and the grunge groups, he sort of looks like proto-grunge, right? So...
Well, like utilitarianism was not utilitarianism when David Hume was doing it.
That's right. That's exactly right. And I can't let this go by without mentioning my beloved niece, Natalie, and saying, how do you say when you have two Neil Youngs? Is it Neil Youngs or is it Neil's Young? I mean, that's like her standing joke.
Nelt.
Like, what is the plural of Neil Young? Anywho, last one. What world city is nicknamed...
Neil, not that young.
That's definitely not true.
Yeah.
A world city is nicknamed The Smoke.
Beijing.
No, although that makes perfect sense.
Warsaw.
It's not Warsaw. It is in
Europe. Does it have a volcano?
Europe. It does not have a volcano.
The Smoke?
The Smoke.
Vienna.
No.
Rome.
It's not Rome.
We only got about a few hundred
Germany.
More to go, but.
Chernobyl.
That's highly specific?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm. You guys are killing me. Would you say Chernobyl's in Europe?
Or is it in Asia? Radioactive steam. So.
Yeah.
The Smoke, Reykjavik.
Liverpool.
No, see, that's what Kendra went with, the volcano. That was a really good guess, but you're being a little too over the top.
I mean, Greece. It's got to be Greece, then. It's got to be Athens, Greece.
Of a brand of windbreaker / coat that people wear.
London?
It's London is what it is. The London fog is what they're referring to. So.
Because more than 50% of the population of Athens smokes. So
well, used to when you said Beijing, it's like 99% of Beijing smokes. Yeah. So it's, you know.
That's extremely high. Geez.
It's pretty high.
Yeah. By the way, The Smoke would have been a really good nickname for Detroit last night if you were out at any hour.
Yesterday
after
was
6 o'clock.
Thick fog.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty crazy.
But you know, London had it. When was it? 1952 had a killer fog / smog. They had an inversion and a front that wouldn't move, and people died.
Really?
Around Christmas time. Yeah.
Oh my
god! Did strange, weird creatures come out of the fog?
Well, I've seen pictures taken. You know, in downtown London, and you couldn't see, you know, 10 feet away. The fog was so thick.
So how did they die?
from?
Accidents?
Because it was, it trapped in all the smog because people still had coal-burning fireplaces and coal-burning power plants.
That's a bad way to go.
Unbelievable. Well, Beverly Hollis, thank you very much for those questions.
Send more.
I'm going to give us
those
a pass.
Were good questions.
Keep sending us questions when you can. I think that we did very, very well on those. Can anybody think of a favorite nickname or two for a thing, a person, a place? Any yats out there?
You're not asking for our personal nicknames again because we went through that already.
No, we did do that already, and we're going to avoid that forever. But
Well, Roanoke, Virginia.
What is Chicago's
nickname? Called
the
Big Lick.
It is the Windy City. That's right.
That's not a very flattering.
Whoa. Movie. A little bit of buzz means it's time to say goodbye. You ready to say goodbye, Lorenzo?
Bye.
Prasad.
Bye.
Dan.
Bye.
Jim.
Goodbye.
Kendra.
Bye.
Joe.
See ya.
Dave.
See ya.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM. Or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.